Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, welcome, Kathy. We're now into February, and you know, we had finished last week our beautiful series, you know, that we had on forgiveness and reconciliation, and lots of great feedback on that. Oh. And just reminder for people to keep understanding how critical that is.
Right.
For the life of God, and that it's about freedom that we can have and resolution of all conflict and relationship issues, which we're going to have. And then what's the difference between forgiveness, reconciliation, and, you know, how does that work? So we just, again, pray that if people are having struggle with any of that, that they continue to contact us. We're happy to help them. To me, this is, and you see it in retreats, that everybody recognizes, yeah, I got a little bit of a problem with this.
Right, right.
It can be really deep and really stymie somebody. And it can be, yeah, I'm pretty good, but I do have a few people I struggle yeah. with, and it's not pure yet. And God says, no, I need to get you to completeness on this. And you
then,
can, you know.
And then beginning a rhythm of keeping those accounts short, right?
Yes.
because there are new offenses daily. And so keeping a short account of unforgiveness and taking that straight to Him and letting Him work that.
Yep. Yeah. And that means coming to resolution every relationship you have, particularly with somebody close like your spouse or a close mm-hmm. friend or even people in your small group, that because of life and because of, you know, our sin nature, we can kind of offend people, you know, and mm-hmm. people we can be offended.
Oh, yeah.
Even out of the best intentions, where somebody isn't purposely trying to hurt me, but in a sense, they get distracted into their own stuff, and then they wind up hurting me because they ignore me or they do something
right.
that
right.
isn't right. And I love what you're saying there is keep short accounts, which means just get the resolution quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you have to say something and process, and actually a lot of times it's healthy to say, you know, 2 weeks ago, this happened, and I just want you to know that, you know, that it caused me some, you know, some frustration. Usually if somebody says that to me, which is, you know, it happens. Gee, I didn't even think about that.
And right.
I'm glad you shared that with me. I didn't want you, it's good that you didn't hold it.
Right.
Because if I didn't know about it, I wouldn't have thought a thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're bothered by it.
Yeah. And sometimes we have to care enough about the relationship and our relationship with God to make that step.
Yeah, yeah. And usually it can be prevented from going anywhere if, mm-hmm. well, here's an issue or here's something that, you know, is changing. Hey, let's just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a heart to process truth without I have to fix it or I have to get my way, Father, let's just talk it through and we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
And you avoid any hardness at all.
Right.
Or assumption, or that I think what you're doing is wrong. And if you just talk about it, you don't even think that way. You say, well, let's just work it through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, by the way, with your spouse and really keeping a short account is just open communications all the time about stuff and about, mm-hmm. you know, what do we do? How do we do it? So it was a great series, and we pray that it was. And so we're starting a new one. We call it, We Are All Called to Be Prophets. And it's a beautiful discussion of this whole area of prophecy. And when you say that word, you know, everybody, you know, first of all, they think, well, it means you're telling what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that somebody that has a certain gifting? And that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean we're all called to be prophets? And
right.
Is it, what about me that, you know, I can't do that. I'm not there, you know.
And honestly, depending on your upbringing and the church background that you're coming from, some people hear that very statement and they're ready to turn away from what you're talking
yeah.
about. Because in their, you know, from what they have been taught, that has ceased and that is not an operating gift.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not, yeah, not that the, it's called dispensationalism that, well, that doesn't even exist anymore. One, and then two is that the word became associated with abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I'm a prophet and I know God's will and you do, you have, I'm going
right.
to, you know, force
using
you to
it
do
to
God,
manipulate or to, change to circumstances manipulate to what you desire.
Control. We were just having a conversation with our good friends, Dave and Rich, and there's a church kind of a association called ARC, and they mm-hmm. have set it up, which they call, they've developed their church model, and it's an association of churches, under a what they call a Moses concept. And the mm-hmm. Moses concept is he got revelation,
mm-hmm.
and then he gave it to the congregation, and the congregation had to respond to what Moses said.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, that's the way it should go. And so they don't even have an elder board. They don't have an oversight board.
Right.
It's a pastor is, I get revelation and everybody needs to listen to what I have to say.
Right.
And I'm
a lot
right.
of those
and,
churches are the ones that have really struggled lately too.
Yeah. 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 And so it's not, and it's completely unbiblical, by the way, because mm-hmm. The way that Paul was called to start churches was elders.
Mm-hmm.
And elders who are, he actually said men and women of faith
mm-hmm.
who have a heart to follow God and hear God's voice. And then together in unity, God will lead the church.
Right.
And there isn't any person ever to be the guy.
Right. There is. And there's such beautiful accountability and going to unity in the Holy Spirit
right.
and doing that correctly. Yeah.
Right. So the idea of when we say prophet, it kind of brings up a negative connotation
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, I don't know about that. My experience with it is nothing. And by the way, mm-hmm. it seems to me there's only a few people that have that gift. And, you know, what do you mean we're all called to be prophets? And so we're going to spend the time talking about that and the thought about it fundamentally, which is why we want to do it. And we've talked about this, the significance of this, particularly with what's going on in the world, is building a community
mm-hmm.
of people around me with my spouse, my friends, my small group, my inner circle, what we call inner circle. And we would like to learn together and keep each other accountable together
mm-hmm.
to walk with God, hear from God, discern God's will,
mm-hmm.
and then learn how to give it away. And so in the community, and what we're talking about here, when we said called to be prophets, it's how, what's our role in two things? How do we speak into somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Not our best idea.
Right.
But
so important.
But a process of here's what we're hearing, God. What are you hearing, God? Let's confirm what God is saying. Let's walk with God. And I'm going to be a participant in that and speak into it. And then two, that I am a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
of that, so that I don't drift and go off on my own way, even thinking, well, I have to figure this out myself,
mm-hmm.
when I've got the ability to have an inner circle around me that can help me to stay in sync with what God has, and I'm open to it as long as, and when this is what we'll talk about, the key about prophecy, prophetic, is we all have a heart to follow God, you know, mm-hmm. so that, and this is where the abuse can come in, is if I say, I heard and I declare and you should.
Right.
And you'd better because I heard God and you didn't. I've just completely misused anything about prophecy, which is, you know, off.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually from the enemy and I've lost that. So we want to develop it in a real healthy way. But when we say we are all called to be prophets, it's a true statement that mm-hmm. we are called to be, you know, this, and we got to understand it. And by the way, it's primarily not about foretelling, what we call, you know, coming forward. It's really about forthtelling, which is speaking truth into situations, including mm-hmm. my own. So we'll talk about it. So let's just start with a scripture. And then as a result of that, you know, we have a community of people that listen to the podcast and they have some questions, which we can actually kind of demonstrate a little bit about what it looks like. So this is 1 Corinthians 14, 1-3. It just kind of sets up the premise.
Yeah.
So, and the word there is both, there's two to just keep thinking two elements. One is foretelling, there's something coming up and we'll talk about that. We're going to get into this, what that really looks like. Because people tend to overdo it
mm-hmm.
and get too much detail to it and preciseness mm. to it. And this is going to happen when really the way the Spirit does it, because he talks about how he tells us of things to come, it's really an alert, pay attention. I have more to show you because it's a walk, not a destination.
Right.
And that's, I have a little bit of problem, you know, with, you know, when people bring a quote, a prophet to a church and he prophesies over these people and makes statements, and they're gifted, but unfortunately the person, because they're not processing it, takes it too far with, oh, he said,
right,
and therefore I conclude what that means.
Yeah. Almost as if they had read a horoscope, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so even in anything, when someone brings a prophetic word forward, we have this huge responsibility to then take that to God and let him expand and speak truth and give us discernment on any and all parts of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the key there is, and this is true as we'll get into it, is here's what I hear God saying, which is can be good, but don't say, oh, great, I'll just do that.
And right.
Without interaction with your own opportunity to say, okay, Father, show me what that means, and take it for what it really is, as opposed to an absolute, you know, and you and I have had people who were, you know, had this happen to them and they received a certain specific thing. And here it is 3 years later and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, what happened? You know, how come,
right,
you know, and they were so spiritual and I didn't happen. It must be me. I must, you know, have failed or, it wasn't really true, and it could have been a heads up, but we just didn't understand. So we'll get into that. And the second piece of it is, which is primarily what it is, it's called forth-telling, truth-telling, is we all have situations.
Mm-hmm.
What we call our clutter list, things unresolved issues list, things that we need God's will for. And God says, I'll guide you into truth to receive what I have to say. And what I want to do is help you be part of a community that will walk with you into it and confirm what I have to say.
Right.
And he said, actually, that's what I've set up as the way to make it work. I've never put that on you personally, that you have to have the only source of hearing my voice. It's rather the community will assist you. Now, there's a requirement to that. If I'm going to serve that, and let's say I'm helping you and Dan with something. Desire is for you to know God's will, which is best and none better. I know he will talk to you. And we and I will participate in confirming by speaking, I think God is saying, and yeah, you're hearing right. Or no, nah, I'm not sure about that yet.
And sometimes
I have
it's
no,
that he will
go
give
ahead.
You questions to make the process, you know, to take the processing further and things like that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you look through this series that we're going to spend now for the next probably couple months, is broaden it out to your thinking is, okay, how do I build this community? How do I actually now participate with my community to both speak into them, let them speak into me, and how do we do that in a really healthy way? And there's a beautiful truth about this that we'll spend time in. And as we build our community, you know, we have a podcast audience and we periodically get interesting questions, which is, you know, they're saying, you know, I got something going on here and I do need some input about this. So, you know, I know Kathy, we've got a couple of them here going the next couple of days, but let's start with, you got an interesting one from a person about, you know, husbands and God's will and free will.
Yeah. So it says this. My husband is not a believer. Our marriage is a hot mess. I've been praying over this for a very long time and continue to hear God promise that he will bring salvation to my husband and restoration to our marriage. In the meantime, God is growing me and transforming me daily. My question is this. I believe I have heard these promises and continue to pray them, but how does free will play into this? I know God has me regardless and can bring me restoration, but what if my husband chooses to walk away and continues rejecting God? Is the promise guaranteed and I can still believe his salvation will come someday, or can free will thwart the promise?
Yep.
It's a great question, I think.
It's a great question. And it's interesting, is the promise guaranteed? That's kind of the key element of everybody's thought.
Right.
Okay, I'm hearing promises. Is that guaranteed? And it has to do it kind of a little bit about if you're hearing God saying this, the potential there is, oh, good. Well, then I'll just wait for it to happen, see?
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't it guaranteed? And so let me set this up. First of all, does God speak promises?
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll look at a verse that reiterates this. And matter of fact, he says, all the promises of God are yes. And, mm-hmm. and we go, so, okay, what does that mean? And then, but as we look at scripture, is every promise that he's given fulfilled? No.
Mm.
So fundamentally, by the way, the beginning of this is that the promises are not guaranteed. Their potential,
mm-hmm.
and they're available for him to fulfill it and to deliver it if you walk with him step by step by step into possessing the promise, you know, so that it's not a matter of I guarantee it's going to happen. Rather, this is where I'm headed with you,
mm-hmm.
and you need to walk with me to you, who I've given the promise to, God speaking,
right.
need to possess and receive what I'm going to give you, and it's done step by step by step. Right. So let's look
so
at
then
let's
the
look
question. Kind of. Oh, go ahead.
Well, let's take a couple verses about this about
okay,
free will.
Okay. Yes. Absolutely.
So go to 2 Corinthians 1 and read verses 18 to 24.
2 Corinthians 1, 18 24 says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as a witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, and for by faith you stand."
Okay, so this verse kind of, this whole set of verses lays out the actual answer to the question, and that is that all the promises are what?
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. In other words, it's not kinda, it's not am I the lucky one, it's they're yes, and amen means. And see, the Hebrew understands this way more than we typically do, because our amen is it's at the end of the story.
Right, right.
Rather, means amen means I've heard you speak the promise to me.
Mm-hmm.
I receive it as personal, and may you now fulfill it as I walk with you into mm-hmm. it. So it's yes and amen. Okay, now he has a little interesting truth to it. The promise is yes where? In Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not you determining, I'm going to go get that promise.
Right.
And I want that one. He says, no, I have to, they're all yes, but I have to speak it to you. I have mm-hmm. to relate it to you. Okay. And we'll come back to that. So first of all, I got to hear what he has to say.
Right.
What is your promise to me? And I'm interested in your will. What's your promise to me? Okay, then Paul, and read verse 24 again, because Paul says, hey, by the way, what does he say there?
He says, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand."
Okay, so he just says, hey, by the way, I who am an apostle and can be a conduit of helping confirm God's will and promises, have zero authority over your what? Faith. How you respond to this. So I can't pray, Paul speaking, I can't pray to God, well, you said it, so go make it happen. Mm-hmm. He says, no, there's an element of free will here, and I don't have any authority over your free will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a fellow traveler just like you.
Right.
And I have to choose to follow God myself, and as you experience God's will, you have to have a heart to follow God's will as well, and even God himself doesn't violate free will. And
right.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, so in this particular question, I know, because I know, walk closely with this person, she is absolutely walking and hearing and seeking and step by stepping, but her husband, who she believes the promise is about, is not. And so the question is not so much with her free will, she's engaging as God leads step by step, but can her husband's free will thwart the promise?
Yeah. Well, there is a statement in this she makes in her question is, my marriage is a hot mess. And that is that if you focus strictly on the single element of it, salvation, what we'd call salvation coming into Christ, when God says, well, I have instruction for you,
mm-hmm.
for you to still enjoy what you're doing. And even with, or let's say someone who is not unpleasant, that I have a desire to bring him to faith, because Christ says, mm-hmm. it's not my will that any should perish.
Right.
And I will work. You said the Holy Spirit will work to bring that person to a place of truth and receive that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so join me in that. And then the other side of it, see, is we have the, you know, the Moses and the Israelites, after they crossed the Red Sea miraculously, you know, what did God say? My promise
mm-hmm.
is to take you to the promised land and have you possess it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will now deliver that to you. Let's go. And they said, we don't believe it.
Right.
And so we're not going, you know. And he said, okay, I can't force you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the promise stands, but you've rejected the promise.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to experience it. And that's what we talk about, potential but not guaranteed.
Right.
That you have to have a heart to go. And they didn't. So they just wandered around for 40 years, living really literally in hell for 40 years. They all died. And then he says to the next generation, well, do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
The promise still stands. Do you want to go? And they said, yeah, we want to go. Okay. Then when they went, by the way, and we'll talk about this later, it took 5 years
mm-hmm.
to fulfill that promise. And the only way they could fulfill it was they had to go step by step by step.
Right.
So that, what's the perspective then on this question? One is join God and his heart, his will. Yes, I will work to bring your husband to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need you and others around you to follow me specifically. And what he would say is, as you think of the, quote, mess or conflicts of your marriage, I want you to bring that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have instruction for you
right.
about that
right.
that will facilitate this. And remember, the story isn't over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working at circumstances for that to occur. And is that a promise? Yeah. Is it guaranteed? No. It's going to require him to respond mm-hmm. to God's presentation of the truth. And so he said, in the light of you join me in my will for him, I need you, since he's not willing to follow me at the moment.
Right.
So don't even think about that. Assume he's opposite of that, mm-hmm. which she's probably experiencing. What I'd like to do for you is for you to take that about, okay, the state of your marriage and the dynamics of your marriage and process that. I have a promise for you about
mm-hmm.
that. Mm-hmm. And I want you to work with me and with your small group and your friends. Take that as a topic and say, okay, Father, here's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how he's treating me. Here's how he's responding. Here's where we're not doing well. What would you have to say to me? And what would you have me guide into to just bring some peace and some joy to me while I have a heart, you know, for him? And
right.
And so it goes deeper into, you know, yes, there's a broader promise.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, because, and remember the truth. What's the truth? Is it God's will that any should perish?
No.
How come people?
His heart is for that, but people have to choose him.
Yeah. So ultimately, he's, in other words, your husband is not exempt from that.
Mm-hmm.
That I can force you to, because if he could, and it would be the way to go, he would just make everybody force mm-hmm. him to believe, you know. And so your husband isn't exempt from that. He's going to have to come to a choice, and God will not force him to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you know his will is that. You know that I'm going to do everything to guide him to the promised land, but it's potential, not guaranteed. And your heart would be, don't quit on it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say whatever, but rather, how do you want me now to work the dynamic of my marriage, given that it's problematic?
Mm-hmm.
And spend a lot of time on that, which I believe then will give you some clues to the softening of your husband's heart. To be able to receive, you know, Jesus.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a great question. And it's something, you know, that we all need to understand is that as God speaks promises, it's always potential, not guaranteed. And he says,
mm-hmm.
now that I've said it, I need you to walk into it with me step by step by step by step. And you can thwart it mm-hmm. along the way by just refusing to go and going and think about it. Where does God's will happen in the kingdom of God?
In the kingdom. Yes.
If I exit the kingdom and I go back to the flesh, he says, I can't deliver it because you, and it's mm-hmm. kind of simple, really. I can't deliver it. Why? Well, I'm looking around for you, for me to give it to you. You're not around. You're not with me. You got to be with me, you know? And so, yeah, it's a great question. Do you have any other thoughts about that or any other things you want need to clarify?
No, it's just, y'all, I think it's a great topic. And like I said, I've walked closely along with this young lady and seen the ins and outs, and her heart is purely seeking after God and allowing, it's amazing to watch, to be honest, because talk about a picture of endurance. It's been a picture of endurance, and her heart is so for her husband to come to faith. And she does believe God has said, this will happen at some point. Keep loving. And he's giving her instruction on how to do that. But it's a hard journey. It's a hard journey. And I think, you know, where the crisis of faith comes in is knowing she's hearing this promise and walking into it. And then also knowing that he's not choosing it. And, you know, what does that mean for her? And just trying to hold hope that regardless, God has her.
And absolutely, again, restoration to her regardless. What I would work with you with her would be, okay, let's focus on the now. Mm-hmm. What instruction, Father, do you have me toward how I relate to treat this person, and what would be beneficial for both my peace and then for what you would have for him, and really get very specific about what would you have me do right now?
Right. And she is doing that beautifully, actually. It's amazing and difficult.
I've had a couple with a wayward son, and the father and the son were, you know, kind of at odds with each other because, mm-hmm. you know, he's doing, you know, stuff that just isn't healthy, and he's kind of upset with them and tries to tell him you should, you know. And mm-hmm. and so we said, well, let's find out, you know, first of all, do you believe God wants them to be restored? You know, and we mm-hmm. prayed about that. Yes, that's God's will. The next question is, what would God have you do differently today that he wants to speak to you? And he prayed about that, and I prayed about that. And it came back to stop at all trying to discuss, tell him he should bring mm-hmm. Christianity into the scenario. Just spend some time with him and enjoy him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to refrain from your penchant to, I want, you know. And mm-hmm. and so he received it and practiced it. And a year later, the relationship got better.
Mm-hmm.
And the son is now starting to come and say, could you help me with some decisions? And you pray, and would you, you know, I have some questions about God now. And see, when he mm-hmm. took the pressure off.
Right.
And the system changed. And just let God work. Now, it didn't happen overnight, see?
Right.
It's a year later, but the story's never over. So I think the focus you know, for this lady would be revisit, you know, I really want, it's not happening. Father, what would you say to me now about my relationship and how do I do this? And keep listening to what he has to say. Mm-hmm. Don't focus on, yeah, but you said, it's given that you've said it.
Mm-hmm.
How do I walk with it?
Right. Oh, that's good. Very good.
Yeah. Well, Father, thank you for the truth of that. And we know that as we get into the prophetic, that it's bringing truth, it's bringing the word, understanding of the word. How does that apply to me in my situation that I can then process and come to understanding of steps, wisdom, clarity, and having peace about that so that I'm being guided by you, even in very difficult circumstances. And so we just lift it up, pray that we'll all learn how to do this well. And thank you for this great series that we're about ready to do in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we would be happy to talk about them.
Yep.
Look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.